All right, my friends. One more hour here on the Game Blitz. Take you till midnight. God, we've had a great night so far. Thanks for all the coaches. We've had like 15 coaches on tonight. Thank you, coaches, for spending part of your Friday night with us. We can never thank you enough. We're here for you. This is your show to get the good message out and talk about high school football. We love it. We love it. All right, I've done enough talking tonight and scoreboard updates. Elijah, are you ready to get the complete scoreboard update?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm ready to roll.
All right. Kenny, hit it, brother.
What better way to do it than with that music right there? All right. Let's go and get started. Beach over Springfield in a measuring stick game, 42-10. BGA destroys Republic, 64-0. Brentwood squeaks one out over Franklin, 7-0. Brentwood Academy beat Cornerstone Christian somewhere in the United States, 47-7. Cane Ridge beat Nashville Overton 21-12 last night. Cascade shut out Joe Burns 34-0. Centennial gets a big win over Ravenwood 28-24. Clarksville beat West Creek last night 30-14. Clarksville Academy beat Franklin Grace 27-22. Clarksville Northeast wins in a shootout over Father Ryan last night 62-55. Clay County beat Scott, presumably Scott County, 53-7. Collinwood over Richland 33-28. That's an upset. CPA upsets Oakland, speaking of upsets, 35-14 last night. Creekwood beat Greenbrier 30-6, scoring 30 unanswered. Crittenden, Kentucky beat Liberty Creek 28-14. Cumberland County wins the Battle of the Windless 7-0 over Livingston. East Hickman beats Hickman County 35-28. East Nashville remains undefeated, 43-8 win over Maplewood last night. Easel Harding 29, Chattanooga Preparatory School 6. Fairview shuts out Camden 56-0 in a massive blowout. FRA beat Stratford last night 55-18. Giles County pulls away from Columbia 49-28. Gordonsville shuts out Troutdale County 35-0. Green Hill shuts out Hunter's Lane 35-0. Hendersonville wins a thriller against Shelbyville 40-34. Hillwood beat Glencliff last night 50-9. Huntland beat Community 21-6. Independence over Summit 26-21. Last night, Lebanon beat Mount Juliet 27-6. Lipscomb Academy stays undefeated with a 42-0 shutout win over Knoxville Catholic. Macon County ends Stone Memorial's undefeated season 35-34. MBA continues their undefeated season by beating Ensworth 35-17. The Fighting Joe Dubins in McGavick beat Antioch 40-20. Moore County beats Loretto 62-42. That is a football score, not a basketball one. Mount Juliet Christian gets their first win of the season in a scoregami fashion, 12-11 over Sail Creek. Nashville Christian beat Clarksville Northwest 49-19 last night. Nolensville beats Page in the Battle of the Unbeatens in tonight's game of the week, 27-21. Pearl Cone upset Marshall County 35-23 to end their perfect record. Rossview beat Kenwood last night 22-14. Stewart County beat Houston County 41-24. Sycamore beat Cheatham County 17-14. Tullahoma shut out Montgomery Central last night 31-0. Watertown shut out Harpeth tonight 26-0. Waverly beat White House Heritage 48-13. White County took down Hillsboro 35-22. Wilson Central wins again. They start off 1-5. They've won two in a row. They beat Station Camp 39-30. And then outside of Middle Tennessee, Davidson Academy beat North Point Christian 49-20. And then Henry County beat Paducah in Kentucky. That score, 24-20. That is your scoreboard update.
You sounded all sad there at the end. You okay?
I was making sure I didn't forget anybody. I like to try to see it, like, go to the East because, you know, TWSAA's website, very well done. They update these really thoroughly. I made sure I didn't want to miss any of the games outside of Middle Tennessee that I wanted to highlight because sometimes they place them a little funny. But
they do.
I am a little sad that it's over. I was on a roll, Joe.
You were. It's not easy to do that, is it?
No, it's not. I did it last week a couple times just to kind of test myself, just to see where I'm at with the whole lung capacity thing. And it's back. We're back in business.
I got to tell you, it was fun talking to Coach Kreisky at Centennial on that win. I mean, you could tell that the excitement. I mean, he didn't come on here like a cheerleader, rah rah rah, because he knows that was a big win over Ravenwood and Coach Hester over there. It's a great program, but just the fact that he just talked about the guys never quitting, wanting to finish. That's why high school football does so much for these kids. It builds that character and fight, and life's not going to go your way like where I like he says, is keep on punching. And great men like Coach Kreisky and so many great coaches and great men around Middle Tennessee. It was really – we'll try to get that interview back out later. Just hearing him and his appreciation of his team was just really cool, Elijah.
It was really neat. And that's my favorite part about doing the show this year, Joe, has been the voices of the coaches talking about their team, reflecting after wins like that. We had a similar moment with Mount Juliet's coach after they had that win against White County.
Yeah, Trey Perry.
In thrilling fashion. And he kind of got emotional. And it's that kind of passion, not just for the game itself, but for the players that you have, is what makes this so special, because the relationship between players and coaches at this level is a lot of mentorship. A lot of it's more than just football. So when they see these kids succeed, it means a whole lot more. And you get to see that in these kind of settings, these interview settings. And what they did tonight is significant, Joe, because not only did they create a lot of chaos and wreak a lot of havoc at the top of this region, but they put themselves in a position to win the region. And being able to win Region 7 6A is an honor in itself, even if you might fall a little bit short in the playoffs because you have to play against Region 8, which is a gauntlet itself. But being able to say that you're Region 7 champions would be something those kids could take with them forever. And I think Coach Kreisky knew that.
Yeah, it's weird not having the – I know they're on fall break, and I know Oakland played last night. It's different, but – not having the Rutherford County schools and talking to coaches. And I mean, they all deserve the fall break, but it's just kind of weird because they're such an integral part of the show.
They are. I mean, it is a little weird seeing this. And if you think it's weird tonight, Joe, it's going to be weirder next week. We talked to so many coaches where we're looking at the schedule ahead and we ask them about the schedule ahead. And it's like, well, you got the bye week next week. Get the bye week next week. We might be talking about six games. We might have to find, like, pull up individual streams of these games and just give play-by-plays all night.
All right, maybe play some of our games in high school. All right, let's bring another special guest on, Elijah. We just efforted, and thanks to Kenny, Coach Derek at Nolensville joined us on the show right now. Coach, how are you? Thanks for answering your phone, Coach.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. Luckily, I had it on me and took it off silent. Returning several text messages here, so obviously a very excited night for Nolensville.
Yeah, you're like, for me, if a call comes in, I don't recognize the number, I'm not answering. So God bless you, Coach. All right, so you went 27-21 over Page in overtime. Take me through the last, I guess, minute or two of the game in overtime. Thoughts, your team not quitting, what was happening there?
Yeah, I mean, we just, you know, it was 14-7 at halftime. We were down, and we've been in a similar situation against Giles County in week two. And I just told our kids that we just got to keep playing hard. Thought we were playing pretty good on defense. And then offensively, we just needed to make some plays when they were there. And we were able to do that. And then that last drive we had in the fourth quarter there to go down and tie it, you know, it was a 75-yard drive, I think 16 plays. So, yeah, we were able to make plays when we needed to. And then, obviously, you know, to hold them there on fourth down in overtime was pretty special.
I know this sounds weird talking to for at least for a lot of people that love football, but close games like this that you could obviously winning, it helps out a lot. But it just so much character for your team and the fight and everything. Am I weird in thinking that?
No, I think that, you know, when we didn't play great at times tonight, but when you can not play your best and still have enough grit and determination to win a game, and it wasn't pretty at times, and some of the games we've won this year haven't been pretty, but our team is very resilient. They keep playing hard no matter what the situation is, and they were able to make a couple of plays when it mattered tonight, and it was a huge win for our team and for our program.
Talking to Coach Paul Derrick from Nolensville tonight. They got the big win, our game of the week, and the battle of the unbeatens. And, Coach, I want to take it to overtime, right, where it's fourth down, you get that big goal line stop to be able to give the ball back into your possession with a chance to control your own destiny, score, win the game. But in that situation right there, how was your defense able to be able to get that goal line stop? And what was that feeling on the sideline once you were able to stop the Patriots from entering the end zone?
Yeah, we have a mentality on defense, and I have a saying that we use, and we just want to make the other team snap it again. No matter what happens, just make them snap it again. So don't give up any big plays, and then if you keep making the offense have to snap the ball again, something good will happen for you defensively. And that was our mentality down there. You know, we just wanted to keep – it was only 10 yards they needed to score, but just don't let them score, just keep making them snap it again, and we were able to stop them there on fourth down, and it was a huge play, obviously, in the game.
We're talking to Nolensville head football coach Paul Derrick. And coach, again tonight, you knew it would be a battle going into this game, but talk to me about the crowd. I know TV's there. I mean, there's a lot of extra pressure on these kids. And I know people, well, they're kids, they can handle it. But sometimes, and you've seen it, and I've seen it before, under the spotlight, sometimes kids just get caught up in it. But talk about your team tonight and how well they handled the spotlight, the crowd, because we were watching on TV, Coach. It was looked like an amazing atmosphere.
It was unbelievable, man. It was unbelievable. It was also senior night, so that brought a lot of people out. And you know, to have the radio there, the TV there, we knew it was going to be a big crowd. And we talked about it all week with our kids, that there were going to be distractions. And there was this game, you know, we try to approach everything week by week and try to get better each week, and obviously we tried to do that again this week, but it was pretty apparent that this game was going to feel a little different. You know, Friday night, the atmosphere with WCS game day being there prior to the game, it was going to feel a little different. So we just tried to prepare them the best we could and talked about it with them, like, look, hey guys, there's going to be distractions, this game's going to feel different, but at the end of the day, you know, we wanted our kids to embrace the moment and have fun, because we're playing a game and it's supposed to be fun. And, you know, they were able to go out there, and I don't think we were distracted. I don't think we were, you know, big-eyed when the lights came on. I think Page is a really good football team, and they did some really good things tonight, and we were fortunate enough to come out with the win there in the end.
All right, Coach, you got the open week because of fall break, and you finish against the Franklin High and Franklin County. I know both games are important, but that last game is a region game and all that. But if we talk to coaches tonight, that doesn't matter. I mean, it's the next game at Franklin. That's the focus now, I would guess.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get back to work next week. We'll practice a couple days next week and won't really focus too much on an opponent. We'll kind of get back to some fundamentals and basics and, you know, try to get some guys back to full strength and kind of focus on ourselves, and then get back from fall break and get ready for the Franklin game. And then, you know, obviously you mentioned the Franklin County game. But, yeah, again, we try to take it week by week and focus on the next opponent and try to correct mistakes that Nolensville made the week before and build off of the good things that we did the week before. So the bye week's coming at a really good time for us, I feel like, you know, to be 8-0, coming off a big win tonight and then going into the bye week. To get some rest and come back, kind of hit the reset button before the stretch down the in the regular season, and then, you know, hopefully in the playoffs.
Well done, Coach. Thank you, but most of all, thank you for answering your phone. That means the world to us.
Well, it's at Cromwell Radio, so I figured I better pick it up.
All right, Coach. Thank you. Best of luck. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right,
Thank
Coach
you guys.
Paul
care.
Derrick.
Thanks,
Coach. Nolensville High School and Elijah, what a great win tonight. I love talking to Coach. We've tried several times to get him on this season, but he looked at the phone. So Kenny puts the Cromwell radio in there. He gets him going, man. He gets him to call him. But just mighty proud of his team. You hear his voice there talking about that. And that's just a huge win for that team, Elijah.
Oh, it's massive. I mean, it's hard to understate exactly how important that win was. It keeps you undefeated. It was a win on TV. It basically wins you the region, barring any setbacks in the last couple games. But it's hard to really understate exactly what tonight meant for Nolensville.
Yeah, it is one of the biggest games all year long, the best atmosphere. So we got the coach's perspective. Up next, Max Herz was on the call tonight on MyTV30 for that Page Nolensville game. He joins us next for that perspective up in the booth. Looking forward to talking to Max. You're listening to the Game Blitz right here, sponsored by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, 102.5, 106.3, the game. I ain't interrupting this song. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Let's bring in our man who's been working nonstop all day, Max Herz, who does the Predators pregame, postgame, intermission, everything else. Then switched gears and headed down to Nolensville, was on the call of the Page Nolensville game on MyTV 30. Max, we just talked to Paul Derrick, the head coach at Nolensville. We saw the atmosphere tonight. Was that the best atmosphere tonight so far this year?
Man, I know you guys have probably had Junie on three or four times so far. I just heard the last part of that interview with Coach Derrick for anybody wondering if it's too many segments to talk about this game, the answer is no. When the best game coming into the week is the best game going out of the week, and maybe one of the best games in all of Nashville this year, it's worth it times 10, and the atmosphere was unbelievable. This was the first time we'd ever had the TV game at Nolensville for a home game. We'd had them on the road once. We knew their band was incredible. We were told by all the players and coaches that the atmosphere would be enough to propel them to win the game. And even though they did not lead at any point in regulation, they never trailed by more than 7. And in overtime, they got a huge fourth and goal stop on fourth and goal from the 1. Joe Carano had a tackle for loss. And then in the bottom of overtime, Page scored on third down. Samson Johnson had the game-winning touchdown run. It was a walk-off. The student section that had been full since like 3:30 stormed the field. It was unbelievable. And it's amazing how when we go to these newer schools, and Nolensville is 7 years old, across different counties, those schools often have the best school spirit. So it's an unbelievable testament to everybody at these schools, Nolensville tonight, who have started these traditions from scratch within the last decade, whether it's band, cheer, administration, student sections in Williamson County. The county administration plays a big role in it. So, I mean, I can't imagine there's going to be a better regular season game in 5A this year. It was unbelievable.
Well, not only that, but what was at stake? Two undefeated teams, basically the region on the line tonight, and it goes to overtime, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, you know, snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap. And to come to overtime, it was only deserving that game goes to overtime.
Yeah, so coming into tonight, there were 5 undefeated teams left in 5A out of 49 teams in the class. And the other 3 have all basically clinched their region. None of them are mid-state teams. 2 are East Tennessee, 1's West Tennessee. But, and Elijah can tell you who's in his club better than I can, but those teams have basically already won their regions. But 2 of the 5 undefeated teams were in the same region. So these guys are playing for the right to host the state quarterfinal as long as the seeds hold. And it very likely will, and if that game happens, it will now be at Nolensville. So it was unbelievable. Like I said, Nolensville wasn't winning at any point. The first time they were winning was the moment the game ended. So very cool to go to overtime. We really don't have that many overtime games on TV. We're lucky if we get one a year, and this was our first, I think, in at least 2 years. I think we had one in the playoffs in 2020 most recently. So really cool. I love the high school overtime format. College style, but you start at the 10. You're guaranteed to get action. It's goal to go. You get rid of the clock. You get rid of the friggin' chains. I mean, it's just football from that point, and it totally delivered.
Talking about Max Herz, he's on the call in the MyTV 30 game tonight. Their game of the week, our game of the week, undefeated club membership at stake. Nolensville wins. And Max, I'm looking at 5A right now, and it's a thrill ride, especially in Middle Tennessee, because Region 5 is loaded too. I mean, Mount Juliet's a really good team. We talked about Green Hill tonight. White County has kind of been the Cinderella story there. And then in Region 7, Henry County's really good. Springfield's legit. 5A in Middle Tennessee is a whole lot of fun, but after watching tonight, getting to see Nolensville and Page on the field at the same time, where do you kind of put them with some of the other elite teams in Middle Tennessee in 5A?
Yeah, I have not seen any of the teams in the Mount Juliet, Green Hill, White County region in person yet this year, and maybe we will down the road in a future week, but I don't see a way that we don't get Nolensville and Page again in the state quarterfinals, and that's no disrespect to Mount Juliet, who's great every year, Green Hill, who has built something awesome as another new school, and White County, who is just posting freaking video game numbers every game with their superstar. But I think it'll have to be Nolensville and Page again. And then from there, it'll be really fun to see who wins that game in Henry County Springfield. And just like last year when Page came back to beat Henry County 56-52, I don't think there's any way that 2 of those 4 schools wouldn't deliver an unforgettable state semifinal. And then you get somebody else from, I guess, East Tennessee awaiting in the final. I mean, maybe it's Daniel Boone, who's undefeated. Elijah, help me out. Who's the 5th team I'm forgetting? It's another East Tennessee team out there who's
Knox
undefeated.
West.
But yeah, Knox West.
Knox
they're,
West.
They're ranked
and they
number 1
on their
the
bye week this week.
In the class right now. So it could be really fun down the road in 5A, just like it was last year when Page was state runners-up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Max, my man, thank you. I know you've had a busy day. Thank you for everything, man. And what time are you back in here tomorrow for the Preds?
We are on the air at noon. So in 12 hours and 34 minutes, Preds looking to maintain their status as first place in the entire NHL.
That's enough hockey talk right there. What time? What's the game next week? My TV 30.
Oakland at Riverdale, for the first time in a while, Oakland is coming off a loss, so you know they're going to be mad.
Oh, my goodness. Max, thanks, brother. We'll see you down the road, man.
Thanks, Joe. Great to see you today. Talk to you guys soon.
You too. All right. Hey, we'll take a quick break, and Chris Smith is going to join us on the other side. You listen to – it's late, man. It's been here 5.5 hours. Chris, don't go anywhere. You listen to the Game Blitz, Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, proud sponsors of this Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back to the final 30 minutes of the Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Let's bring in our man Chris Smith, who's been out and about the last two nights around Middle Tennessee checking on teams. Chris, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. All right, let's go back. Let's start with what game were you at tonight?
Page and Owensville, like it's been talked about all night.
That's all right. That's
great game.
It's one of the best games we've seen in years around here. Give me your takeaways from tonight.
It was virtually a line of scrimmage game that I felt and knew it was going to be a close game from the jump just based off the physicality that both teams bring to the table. And the way it finished, you know, it was heartbreaking for Paige, you know, winning the entire way. And then one call on fourth down and where they didn't get it kind of just, you know, changed everything in Owensville's favor. But like it was just mentioned, I really do think that both these teams will face each other again in the playoffs, and the road to Chattanooga in the 5A will go through either Page or Owensville. I mean, it was a classic game. A lot of college players on that field, a lot of good physicality, grit, toughness shown by both teams. So it was fun. It was an outstanding game and one of the best of the season.
Tell me about Fitzgerald at Nolensville. I mean, this guy has been a playmaker for several years now and saw it again tonight. What's his status?
Right now, I think he's one of the highest receivers in the state when it comes to recruiting, and it's based off his progression and development over the last year because he's been a guy on the recruiting radar for about 2 or 3 years now. But he's really coming into his body and coming into his skill set more so, and college coaches are starting to pay attention to that, especially with his 6'3", 185-pound frame and his ability to move and play physical. And you saw that tonight against Page where there were several passes thrown to him that he caught and moved upfield and had to break away from tacklers, which shows his physicality and speed, the combination of speed to power that coaches like. So I really do think, like, he's been picking up steam with a lot of offers, a lot of MAC offers and Conference USA Sun Belt offers over the last couple of months. But just recently I wrote about him in our hidden D1 Power 5 talents that are in this state, and I do think some Power 5 schools will start looking at him, like Minnesota was in attendance tonight and several other coaches. So, I mean, it was a good game for him to show out and stand out, and he did well in front of the right guys.
Oh, wow. Our guy Chris Smith is on the line with us right now. And, Chris, you were at a game last night too. It was Cane Ridge and John Overton, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so that one, we glossed over a little bit. It was obviously a big win from Cane Ridge and clearly one of the best teams in the Metro, if not the best. But what did you see from them last night? And defensively, it sounded like you got a little bit of a Big Ten-esque game in that one.
Yeah, it's kind of like what it turned out to be, especially in the second half. But for Cane Ridge, it was good to see them play this kind of game because they've gone through several blowouts this year and beaten teams handedly. But Overton gave them a challenge, especially in the second half with everybody adjusting to what they were doing on the field and to withstand the physicality that both teams were playing and to come out with a win against a gritty, solid Overton team that I saw week one against Centennial, and Centennial handled them pretty well. But for Overton to be playing like this right now late in the season is good for them heading to postseason play. So for both teams, even though Overton didn't win the game, it was a win in a certain way to show that Overton can play with the best of 6A because going into next week in our Prep Red Zone Tennessee rankings, with Oakland and Collierville going down last night, Cane Ridge will be our new 6A top number one team. It was a great win for Cane Ridge, but work's yet to still be done, though.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then another one I know you told me that you were keeping tabs with as the night went along last night was one of the more impressive wins that in the state this week, and that was Pearl Cone over Marshall County. And Pearl Cone's kind of on a what I like to call like a revenge tour, right? They had the two losses to Tullahoma that defined the season, and they come back this year despite losing a star athlete who is tearing it up at Kentucky right now. They've been able to be a team on a mission, and they're 6-2 right now and in the driver's seat of that region.
They are, and it was a big win for them because Marshall County came in undefeated and looking like the best team in that region so far this year. But Pearl Cone's been playing really good football late after those two early losses. And it's a young team that's led by their junior class, so it probably took them a little bit of time to gel together. But they're definitely playing the best football at the right time. And so that was a big win and a big statement win for them over Marshall County, and kind of puts the rest of the 4A on notice that you better watch out for the Firebirds as we get into postseason play, because they are very talented in that junior class, and the more they keep on playing football together, the scarier they'll be for whoever they face off in postseason.
Talking to Chris Smith tonight. Chris, let me ask you this. I see all the time, and it's not you, but a lot of the guys I see – I always see, you know, tweets out about the 6'1", 6'2", 200-pound receiver. I hardly ever see tweets about the 6'4", 6'5", 300-pound big ugly up front. Am I missing something? I mean, because those guys are an integral part of football, or do we just take those guys for kind of granted?
I think in a general sense, they get taken for granted. Now, it doesn't come necessarily from me because I'm all over. And I can go ahead and tell you this. I think the offensive line class that we have for 2023 in the state is the best that we've ever had.
Woo!
It's a collective from East Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, and West Tennessee. Like, looking at our rankings on Prep Red Zone Tennessee, I think we run 21 to 22 players deep that are D1 Power 5 guys. So the O-line, especially in the state, and as the state continues to populate and bring more people into it like it has been, there's going to be more talent in this state regardless of position, but that O-line position has really developed over the last couple of years to be one of the strengths of the state. Because even looking at the next year's class of 2024, it's looking good as well. It may not be as good as 23, but it's still really good, led by Ronan O'Connell at Page. They may get taken for granted at times, but when it comes from an overall scout's point of view, they're one of the most important integral parts of the team and the scouting development, because if they don't do their job, then the rest of the players can't do theirs.
Exactly. Here's how I contradict myself. So I ask you about why no talk about big uglies, and I'm not saying you because you do everything. Then I switch over to talk about Demetrius Bell at McGavick. You know, he had the Michigan State offer. He turned it down, or he kind of decommitted now. Where do you see this young man going? Because, Chris, I got to tell you, man, this guy, when he gets the ball, he's an absolute playmaker.
You're 100% correct. I know Demetrius Bell from playing with a 707 in the offseason, and I've kind of been on him for the last 2 years, and it finally took this offseason into this year to jump up to he's my number fourth overall player in the state. And I think one of the guys that can make it to that pro level if he continues to develop the way he is, because he's unbelievably quick and athletic out of his break. Like, he's very difficult to guard as a DB because of his speed and quickness and athleticism off the jump. And then once he gets past you with his speed and his long speed, he's hard to keep up with. He really does bring everything to the table when it comes to a deep field player with ultimate athleticism and speed that's really difficult to have. Kind of like Berry and Brown from last year at Pearl Cone, and I kind of compliment each other off the two, as I think Demetrius may be a little bit quicker than Berry. Berry may be faster, long speed, but quickness off the line, Demetrius may have him a little bit. So I think ultimately he's going to land in the SEC because he's looking over offers right now from Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, Tennessee, LSU, and a few others. Not sure when exactly he's going to make that next decision, but that looks like the landscape that he will land.
Wow. Talking to Chris Smith right now, the best scouting eyes in the state. And Chris, We mentioned about a lot of these guys that have had a lot of the attention coming into the season, but who's one player in the Mid-State that has kind of caught, that might not have been on your radar, but has now kind of caught your eye now that we've gone through about 8 weeks of game action?
Well, one guy that was, he's always kind of been on my radar, but I was very curious to see how he would develop through the offseason and take it into the senior season, is Anthony Crowell from Lebanon. Now, their team was billed as a possible 5A or 6A title contender, and they're still right there in the mix because they've got a dynamic senior class that is loaded between the line of scrimmage and the quarterback and receiver position. But right now, like after watching his film, his midseason tape, and then just kind of following along as the season's going along, Crowell's really standing out to me as a guy that can fit in the slot at a D1 level and be that playmaker, kind of like Richie James from MTSU a few years ago, someone that you can use on the outside but also slide on the, into the slot, and you could also use him on end arounds. He's a very versatile, athletic guy that just simply knows how to play football. Like, he makes crafty, smart decisions in and out of his cuts. I got to see that a lot during 707 this past season, and it's kind of translated big time to this field this season in fall because defenders are having a hard time staying in front of him due to his smarts getting off the line, but then also his quickness into the open field. So he's a guy that I really think that has taken his stock to another level this season, and coaches need to start paying attention to because he just brings so much to the table as an ultimate playmaker.
Amazing. Chris Smith, your insight's fantastic, man. Thank you as always, and we'll get y'all next week, Chris. Thank you.
Of course, anytime, guys.
All right, Chris Smith. Before we go to the break, we got to replay the interview we had with Centennial Head football coach Matt Kreisky earlier. A huge win over Ravenwood tonight. Here's Coach Kreisky on the Game Blitz about an hour and a half ago. All right, Elijah, you ready for this? It's bringing the head coach of Centennial, Matt Kreisky, with a huge win tonight. Coach.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. I know it's going crazy over there. Thank you for carving a little time for us. Congratulations on the big win.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Big win for our guys tonight.
What was the message going into this game tonight? Because, that, Coach, that's a huge win. It's like you said. What was the message?
Well, all week I told the kids, you know, we got to focus on everybody's got to focus on doing their job. I feel like, you know, the past couple of weeks, you know, we doing some things uncharacteristic and not everybody as a group was not getting their job done. I said only we can hurt us. So if everybody tonight would do their job and stay focused and play four quarters, it would give us an opportunity to win the game. You know, we started out a little slow. Ravenwood got up on us 14-0, but the kids never quit. They kept fighting. We got a little momentum right before halftime, and I think as we went into halftime, the kids felt like, you know, it was, oh man, we can play with these guys. So they came out in the second half, and you know, we made some adjustments, but they came out and ready to play, and they were more focused. Our motto all year has been finish. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And these guys were able to finish the game tonight for us.
All right, Coach, you play in such a tough division, and each and every year with Ravenwood and Independence and all the Summit and Centennial, with you guys, Franklin, Brent, everybody out there, you've been in these games before where you've battled, and at the end you just didn't have enough. What's it like now to know your guys are finishing and are fighting for 60 minutes? That's got to be an amazing feeling.
Yeah, it's a great feeling, you know, because you're dealing with, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids. Got a lot going on, a lot of distractions. But these kids were able to keep the composure and not quit. You know, that was one thing I was a little bit worried about when they jumped on us 14-0 real quick. These kids never quit. They kept fighting. They've grown from week one to now. We've really matured as a team, and we're starting to play together. You know, we got to keep getting better each week. Can't be complacent or satisfied with the win over Ravenwood, because here in a couple of weeks we finish the season with Brentwood, you know, and that's going to be a huge game. And you know, looking at the playoff picture, you know, we could, there's a possibility of us finishing first, but there's also a possibility of us finish fourth. You know, with as tough as this region is, you know, you got to be ready to play week in and week out.
Talking to Coach Matt Kreisky of the Centennial Wildcats, big win tonight against Ravenwood. You mentioned going down earlier 14-0 to this Ravenwood team who has an incredible offense. But, Coach, at what point in this game did your team kind of start believing that they can get back in this game despite being down two touchdowns to one of the better offenses in the entire state?
You know, we had a big play in the second half. With Kenai Johnson, you know, his sophomore receiver made a big play. It tied it up 14-14. And I think that, you know, the kids were like, oh, wow, we can do this. So we went back on defense, you know, and we stopped them, made a stop. We actually scored on the next possession, but it got called back. And then we punted to them, you know, and we stopped them. But, you know, I think after Kenai's touchdown, the kids really felt like that they could play with them. And actually, I think they started believing that, hey, we can actually win this game.
We're talking to Centennial Head Football Coach Matt Kreisky. The big win tonight over Ravenwood, 28-24. All right, so what do you tell the team after a game like this? I mean, we talk about finishing and all that, but when they actually do it, I mean, what kind of emotions did you have tonight in that locker room?
Well, I told them to, you know, enjoy it this weekend, you know, but, you know, we're going in fall break too, our off week's next week. So, you know, we'll practice a little bit, get ready. We have Laverne when he come back from the off week. But, you know, I tell them, you know, we can't be satisfied with just a win over Ravenwood, a really good Ravenwood team. You know, if we're going to finish what we started, we've got to come back and be ready, focused, and, you know, ready to finish out the last two games of the season and move forward in the playoffs. So, you know, it's a great win. We all want to enjoy it. But, you know, especially us as coaches, you know, we're always thinking ahead and worried about the next game.
Right.
So we just, you know, can't be satisfied here and can't be just happy off of one win. We've got to finish this season out strong.
How many years have you been at Centennial now?
This is my seventh year.
Seventh year. Have you been at this? Have you been at, what, 7-1 this late in the season?
Yes, my first year. We finished 9-1.
Not bad. Coach, thank you. I know it was a busy night. We appreciate you for taking time out. Best of luck. We're really excited about your success, Coach. Thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right, that's our interview earlier with Coach Matt Kreisky from Centennial. We love having coaches on after these big wins. It's so cool. So, Coach, thank you for spending time of your evening tonight with us. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. One more segment, run down all the scores for you, and then we'll call it a final for tonight. You listen to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. All right, welcome back to the final segment on the Game Blitz. I really think we had 12 coaches on the night. Thanks, Kenny, our producer behind the glass, for efforting all the coaches and calling nonstop and playing the bumps. Kenny, thank you, man. God bless you. You are a godsend for this show. Thank you so much. All right, for one final time, here's the scoreboard for tonight. All right, here we go. Beach 42, Springfield 10, BGA 60, FOA, Republic nothing. Brentwood 7, Franklin nothing. Brentwood Academy 47, Cornerstone Christian out of Texas 7. Cascade 34, Joe Byrne 0. Centennial 28, Ravenwood 20, FOA. Clarksville Academy 27, Franklin Grace 22. That's a big upset right there. Clay County 53 over Scott 7. So we had a debate tonight. Is Scott a county? Because nowhere I'm looking is it a county. So Clay County beat some dude named Scott. Scott, you got to get better. Collinwood over Richland, 33-28. Creekwood, 30, Greenbrier, 6. Crittenden, Kentucky, 28. Liberty Creek, 14. Cumberland County over Livingston Academy, 7-0. East Hickman, 35. Hickman County, 28. Ezel Harding, 29. Chattanooga Prep, 6. Fairview, 56. Camden, 0. Giles County, 49. Columbia, 28. Gordonsville, 35. Trousdale County, 0. Green Hill, 35. Hunters Lane, 0. Hendersonville, in the last minute wins, beats Shebville, 40-30. FOA. Hotland over Community, 21-6. Independence over Summit, 26-21. Lipscomb Academy, 42. Knox Catholic, 0. Macon County, 35. Stowe Memorial, 34. MBA, 35. Innsworth, 17. Moa County, 62, Loretto 42, Mount Juliet Christian. Yeah, way to go, guys. First one of the year over Sail Creek. They win that game tonight. Just lost it 12-11. Millensville over Page, a game we've talked about all night because it was fantastic. In overtime, Millensville beats Page 27-21. Sycamore over Cheatham County 17-14. Watertown 26, Harpeth nothing. Waverly 48, White House Heritage 13. White County 35, Hillsborough 22, and a team that's coming in the back of the pack but strong, Wilson Central, with a big win over Station Camp tonight, 39-30. That's your complete scoreboard update. We had games played last night. we gave those scores throughout the night and everything. So we look forward to next week, week 9. I know it's confusing. Thank you, Kenny, brother. Because in high school football, you have 11 weeks to play 10 games. So a lot of schools right now are on fall break. Half the schools are probably off. Next week, kind of the same thing. With fall break as well, these teams need a break. And then week 10 and 11, October 21st and 28th, that weekend, it really picks up. And then the playoffs start first week of November. We're going to be with you here all the way into sometime in late November, taking up to the week before the state high school football championships down in Chattanooga. We love doing that because when you get in that second, especially that third round of playoffs, man, there's some nitty-gritty going on, and it's just fantastic that happens there. All right, so we had our buddy Max Herz on earlier. He was on the call of MyTV30. I just love Max. He does a great job. He's now doing the pregame, postgame, and all the intermission breaks here on 102.5 The Game for the Nashville Predators, who, by the way, Max told us he'll be here tomorrow on the air at noon. Predators start at 1 o'clock tomorrow, so make sure you tune in right on 102.5 The Game and hear the coverage with Willie and the guys over in Prague. Oakland at Riverdale is a game next week on the schedule, and it'll be interesting to see because Oakland lost last night to CPA 35-14. Riverdale knows if they can knock off Oakland, it makes their season. So that is a big game on the schedule for next week. But all these games are huge tonight, and some of the games that stand out: Centennial with a big win over Ravenwood and put them at 7-1. Nolensville, of course, a big win over Page. Keep rolling on. Last night, East Nashville keeps rolling. They're one of the few undefeated teams in the area. East Nashville won. Just keep their rolling on too as well. So we're going to just buckle in. We got a couple more weeks of high school football regular season that's going to happen. A lot of fun as we move down the pike and see what's going on with these teams. And this last week of the regular season, you got games like Fairview at Waverly, Mount Juliet and Green Hill. Some big, huge games that come down to the last week of the season. If they stay the course, if they win the games they're supposed to win, and that collision there at the end, and then we get to the playoffs, and my goodness. And then the fun and the chaos happens, and it's so cool. All right, that's it. 6 hours of high school football coverage. Thank you, Chase McCabe. Thank you, the staff here at 102.5 The Game. Let's put this show on. And I tell people, Kenny, our producer, each week, to have a six-hour high school football show in an NFL city is unheard of. So thank you, 102.5 The Game, for letting us do this. It's so much fun. Thank you, Apple Collision Centers and National Playmaker Academy, for joining in on the fun and being teammates with us. We love you guys. Thank you so much. That's it. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. We love you. We'll see you then.